A warmer from Elo! Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Heaps with myself, Greg Heaps Peterson, now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you as we're going to be joined in a few minutes by Ryan McIntyre. He does a tremendous job over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. He and Kobe Dant over there with the college experience, they do a nice job on both the college football and the college basketball front. We're going to talk with him about a wide variety of different things. If there's just anything at the last second he takes into account when it comes to college basketball, it's been over 6 months since we last had a game out there in Houston when Flora was able to cut down the nets, and obviously there's been a lot of time to research, but I'll ask if there's anything that he waits until the last second to do. We're also going to be taking a look at some of these teams that are dealing with injuries, and myself and Kobe don't necessarily make a ton out of coaches' comments, but we're going to talk about why you do want to be making something out of the fact that some of these coaches, they once in a while are talking negatively, they're talking about the injuries of their team, why that's much, much more important to be taking a look at than these teams that are gassing you up and are talking positively. So we're going to be chatting about that. We're also going to be taking a look at just some teams that we feel relatively good about coming into the upcoming season. We're going to be talking a little bit about the Big Ten. There will be a few SEC teams mentioned as well, so it's going to be a big bundle of fun with Kobe. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /X timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, Lars Yam, naming does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. While I did not get in any Twitter/X questions today, everything is powered by EdgeBoost. EdgeBoost is making sure that bettors are able to have access to their funds whenever and wherever. With EdgeBoost, 100% of gambling transactions do get approved. And when you go to EdgeBoost.bet, make sure you put in that promo code of Greg, G-R-E-G. That'll get you a dollar-for-dollar match on your first deposit up to $25. And just for anyone looking at it, because we're also going to be talking with Kobe about some of the great conference previews that he and Kobe Dant are doing over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I've got a specialized conference preview podcast for all 31 conferences. Now, some of these were done more towards the summertime, so there were a few tweaks with regards to rosters, but I tried to make those as evergreen as possible. Wherever you're getting this podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, list goes on and on. If you go down the playlist, every single one of those conference previews are there, and like I said, I know that Kobe is doing a great job with his. He does a tremendous job on so many different fronts. And additionally, for those that are West Virginia fans, he does the show, The Ryan and Rush Show, that is all dedicated to West Virginia athletics. You're able to follow Ryan on Twitter/X at Moneyline_Mac. That is spelled M-A-C on Mac. And Ryan, it is always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you always having me on, Greg. Less than a week now, almost.
At this time next weekend, I'm going to be giving my picks and analysis on all these games. We are almost there, my friend. And when it comes to this time of year, what are sort of the things that you try to do to get prepared for the upcoming season? Because we've been going through this for about six and a half months to research and cross all of our T's, dot all of our I's. Are there any things that you do leave for the last second, though? Because I always do think that it's an interesting process to get set for 365 Division I teams.
I don't know if there's a single thing that I do. Maybe just watch some more press conferences. I know media days can be a little bit tricky just because everybody should be bullish on their team to a certain degree because you haven't lost a game yet. If there's an injury or two. So those are kind of the things I'm monitoring. More press conferences with the local media rather than media days where it's more of a kind of a parade.
Yep, exactly. And when it comes to just some of these coaches' comments, I feel like you might be with me on this one because I heard Kevin Willard coming out talking about how his team is all sorts of banged up. Josh Pastor talking about how his teams are dealing with injuries. And I feel like it's much easier to be down on a team because of a coach's comments rather than up on a team because, it means absolutely nothing if a coach says that he likes his team. Meanwhile, if a coach is coming out and is giving any sort of concern whatsoever because this is a time of year where you're trying to gas up your fan base, that's actually what really speaks to me.
Yeah, outside of probably what the legends of the game, like the Tom Izzos, the Rick Pitinos that will undersell their team in the preseason knowing they got a good team just to keep them motivated. Most of these guys are trying to energize their fan base. So I'm with you. It's more negative because, like I said, you haven't lost a game yet. You should be positive on the outlook of the season because everybody's 0-0. But you mentioned it, Villanova, UNLV both kind of banged up coming into the season, which is a red flag, especially with Feast Week coming so quickly.
Yep, I am right there with you. And speaking of injuries as well, I think that San Diego State is an interesting team because we haven't heard a lot about the Mugunghwaith injury. There have been so many different timetables. There were some people that were saying that he wouldn't be ready until conference play. Some are saying that he might be out until November. That's a team that I have a big giant star around to begin the season because they do return so much of that backcourt. They get back Reese Waters, who was out for the entirety of the season last year, but we know that Gwath was one of the best shot blockers in all of college basketball. And it's very rare when you find a guy that's 7 feet tall that's able to pop it from 3-point range like he's able to. And that's a team where I'm really keeping an eye on everything that is being said about them because that's one of those teams that can be up or down based on the health and status of Gwath.
I do agree, but I think under Dutcher, the floor is so high just because of how good they are defensively. We kind of saw their version of the bottom falling out last year, and they still finished fifth in the league. So I'm with you in terms of maybe they're a little bit banged up, and we saw them struggle to really score. If they can just get a little bit of offense like they did 2 years ago, they went to the national title that year just because they got a little bit of offense. But last year was kind of the version of when you have an inept offense, I mean, you could be in a play-in game, but their culture will find a way to win 20 plus, but it's about how high is the ceiling with that defense.
Yep, no question about it. As we do have Ryan McIntyre does such great work over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And then the real injury that I'm also taking a look at as well when it comes to power conference teams, that's what we've got out of Kentucky because I really think that Kentucky has a chance to be able to win the SEC. I put them number one in my projector or finish. But Jaden Quantence, how is he going to be coming back after he had a major injury that cut his season short over at Arizona State last season? Good news is when you've got the likes of Brandon Garrison, Malachi Moreno, and Andre Jelovic, the international man of mystery, will be eligible. They still have a lot of size, but that's something that I'm keeping my eye on as well because I really do think that with Kentucky, even without Quantence, they're going to be good. But I think that with them, this team could be very, very dominant.
I agree. I mean, well, they better be with $20 million roster that they invested. You better be at least in the top 15, probably the top 10 to 5, especially with expectations in Big Blue. Like, I think the main thing is, can they be more consistent defensively? Offensively under Pope, they had no issues last year, but the defense is what prevented them from really competing for an SEC title and ultimately a Final Four.
Yep, it certainly did. And I do think that they're going to be one of those teams to watch out for in the SEC. And just the SEC as a whole, I think, is a fascinating conference because with the SEC, the top teams are going to be rock solid. And I feel like there's a lot of people are picking a various team for number one in terms of their projector or finish. I went with Kentucky. You're hearing people talking up Florida, Tennessee. I'm sure that there's a person or two out there that believes that Arkansas is able to win the SEC as well. But when it comes to that middle tier of teams, the Texas A&Ms, the Ole Misses of the world, I think that that's where the real value is going to be with the SEC because I do think that in terms of an anti-air quotes your favorite, it's really, really tight and the difference between team number one and team number eight feels almost as thin in this conference as any conference in all of college basketball at this point.
Absolutely. And I think it goes back to, and I feel like I talk about this exact topic every single time, is the coaching in that league has elevated tremendously. And I think that's why we've seen the SEC surge into what was the best conference last year. You have future Hall of Famers. I mean, you just go down the list. At Ole Miss, they invest in Chris Beard. At Mississippi State, they invest in Chris Yans, Rick Barnes once upon a time, Bruce Pearl, Nate Oates. I know Calipari was within league, but I mean, they have future Hall of Famers in this league. And I think that's why we just see the floor so high with some of these teams because we just see it year in and year out. And teams like Michigan State and St. John's, too, like these guys that have done it for so long, they're going to find a way to win 20 games. They're going to find a way to get to the NCAA tournament. That's what they've done for 3, 4 decades. And I just think that the coaching is so good in the SEC. And I think that's why we see the margin so small in that league. And it's just fascinating to watch on a nightly basis. The SEC and Big 12, just from a coaching standpoint, is unbelievable.
Yep, it certainly is. And it's going to be a whole lot of fun to watch this season as we do have Ryan McIntyre, who does such great work over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And Ryan, I know that you and Kobe over there on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, the College Experience, you're both doing conference previews, and you always do a great job of interviewing a lot of these coaches as well. So I want to dive in on what you guys have been unearthing the last last few weeks. And we'll start with the conference previews first. In terms of the previews that you have been doing, has there been a surprise team or two that you've put a little bit higher up in terms of your projector or finish and maybe a lot of other people? Because I go back to a team that maybe I think we were talking about this team a few weeks ago in Old Dominion. They're a team that I feel relatively high about. Are there a few other teams out there where you take a look at things and you think that they could be in for a much bigger season than a lot of people are anticipating?
ODU definitely was one that popped. Such a unique thing with this NIL and portal era, where teams bringing back a lot should matter, but sometimes you see the opposite, where maybe they got paid. You still are 18 to 22 year olds and they're not used to dealing with success and expectations. So you kind of, maybe you don't have that same chip. You don't have that same hunger coming into the year. So sometimes we see teams that bring back a lot of production and everybody kind of crowns them in the preseason, take a little bit of a step back. But I like the new Gonzaga team, and they're a perfect example of a team that I just didn't feel like had that chip and hunger last year with Nembhard and Hickman in the backcourt. I like the new backcourt that they got coming in here, paired with that front court of EK and Huff. So the Zags, I think, are going to be the vintage Zags this year. And St. Mary's, I know a lot of people are kind of down on them just because they lose a bunch. But Randy Bennett, they lost Mahaney last year, and what'd they do? Go 19-1. So I like the new St. Mary's group as well. The WCC is going to be fascinating in the final year with the Zags, Oregon State, and Wazoo before the Pac-12.
And San Francisco, I think, has a chance to be able to make the NCAA tournament as well. Bringing in Mookie Cook, he was a former top 50 or so recruit over at Oregon, couldn't really get out there on the floor. They return much of that backcourt. I recognize that there are a few losses with Malik Thomas heading on over to Virginia, but still, I think all three of those teams are going to be rock solid, and I'm so glad that you bring up Gonzaga, because the big news over the last, I would say, week or so of college basketball, aside from these exhibition results, was the fact that Tyon Graham Foster, he was ruled ineligible by the NCAA. Currently, there is an injunction happening to be able to get him eligible, and I want to talk about this on the flip side with Ryan, just talk about what might be happening with regards to that ordeal. We'll talk about a few teams that he's feeling bullish/bearish on, and there's something Gonzaga really has going for them. Guys that are out of sight, out of mind, we're going to be talking about some of these teams that might be popping out to myself and Ryan, some of these guys that are going to be making an impact that maybe you forgot about because they were injured for a year or two. We're going to be talking about that and so much more on the flip side right here on Coast to Coast with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the Beast and Family Podcast. Lobby Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Eats Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Great to be rejoined by Ryan McIntyre. He does such a tremendous job over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. He and Kobe Dant with the College Experience, they do amazing work there. Additionally, for those that are West Virginia fans, he does a great job with the show, the Ryan and Rush Show. That is all dedicated to West Virginia Mountaineer Athletics. You're able to follow Ryan on Twitter/X at Moneyline_Mac. That is spelled M-A-C on Mac. And Ryan, we left off talking about Gonzaga, and now we're both feeling very bullish about them, and I do have to bring this up because one of the biggest things that we saw over the last week or so of college basketball is the fact that Tyon Graham Foster, he did have his waiver denied. Now, he's like 25 years old. I know that Mark Few was talking about he nearly died out there on the court twice and everything like that, but how do you take a look at this Gonzaga team with him currently being out of the fold, but I know that they're trying to fight for him to be able to get some eligibility, and I think that that's an intriguing situation to look at as well.
It is. I would assume that he's probably going to win. Everybody wins against the NCAA. Yes. So
they're the Washington Generals on the court system.
Yeah, if I had to bet, I think he'll probably, maybe he'll miss a couple games, but I think ultimately he'll play.
He'll actually win 3 years of eligibility.
Yeah, everybody can just play till whatever they want. I mean, just ask Diego Pavia in football. But yeah, I like the Zags backcourt, man. I think that they come in a little bit under the radar. It goes back to my previous statement of sometimes, man, that chip on the shoulder, less expectations. They just buy into the culture, buy into Mark Few. Mark Few's another guy. I mean, we were previewing the WCC last night, and you're going down his resume and just what a run he's been on. Almost 800 wins and future Hall of Famer. He's going to get the most out of that team. So I like the Zags as a Final Four contender this year.
Yep, I am right there with you. I think that a lot of people are sleeping on Gonzaga this year. And how much do you look at with this aspect of Gonzaga as well? Having guys that I always like to call out of sight, out of my mind, because you've got the likes of a Jalen Worley who was missing all last season. You had the full Steel Venters for now 2 seasons. And those are the sorts of guys I think are the biggest impact guys that a lot of people just forget how good they were. And I think that those are some big, giant, shall we say, upgrades that they didn't need to go into their transfer portal to get.
It's kind of an embarrassment of riches, to your point. So depth will not be an issue there, and just really looking forward to seeing this new group.
Yep, I am right there with you, as we do have Ryan McIntyre. He has such great work over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops. And that's a little bit of a reason why I'm bullish on Washington coming into the season as well. I'm not sure what your thoughts are on the Huskies, but I mean, Danny Sprinkle had a little bit of a rough year, number one, with the fact that the team paid great Osabor and really nobody else. But I mean, Frannik Tepadog is another one of those guys that is out of sight, out of mind. He's been missing over the last two or so seasons. Being able to get a clean bill of health for him, I think, is going to be big. And I think that that's another one of those teams that they did a nice job of just really looking themselves in the mirror, realizing that what they did last year didn't work out. They've got a lot more depth, and I think that that's another team that I'm bullish on, with again another one of those guys that a lot of people forget about in Capadog that I think could be a big impact guy.
And I like Danny Sprinkle too. I thought he did a great job at Montana State and then Utah State. I know everybody wins at Utah State, but I thought he did an exceptional job replacing that whole team. So I expect a big jump here in year two. Sprinkle's got the reputation of being a grinder. Rare down year, probably paid his guy Osabar too much as a thank you for getting him the Washington gig. But yeah, I expect Washington to be an NCAA tournament team this year.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And I do think that because we were talking up how good the middle of the SEC is, the middle of the Big Ten, I really look at as just being rock solid as well, because everyone's talking about Purdue at number one and Michigan at number two. And rightfully so, I think that both of those teams should have Final Four aspirations. I think that they are that good. And then you've got the likes of UCLA, Illinois, who should be like top 10, top 15 teams. But then you've got the likes of a Wisconsin. We just talked about Washington. The fact that Rink Mass is coming back for Nebraska, I think, is big for them. Really, all those West Coast teams, I think, are going to be improved this year. Oregon, they might not have as much depth, but if Jackson Gelsett comes back from that broken hand, I think that they're going to be rock solid as well. And just top to bottom with this Big Ten, really, other than Penn State and Rutgers, there's really no weaknesses in this conference, in my opinion.
There's no weaknesses at all. The Big Ten's going to be fascinating. I mean, who's the floor, Rutgers or Minnesota? Oh, yeah, I guess Penn State, but I mean, even Penn State, I think, is going to be chippy under Rhodes there. So, like, there's no nights off in the Big Ten, especially with the travel. Really, you just got to find a way to hover around 500 if you're one of these teams in the middle of the pack, and just find a way to get to March, get to the dance, and then anything can happen. It's wide open, man. A lot of turnover on the rosters with the NIL and portal era. It's going to be fascinating to watch.
Yep, I'm right there with you. I do think that the Big Ten is going to be in for a really nice year, and I'm very intrigued to see what is going to be happening on that front. And with regards to your coaches series that you and Kobe Dant do, I know that you've had on a wide variety of coaches from the big conferences to the small conferences. You guys do a little bit of everything over there. And has there been a coach or two that has made some comments that have caused you to raise your eyebrow and maybe take a look at that team a little bit differently, whether that be to the positive or the negative? Because I always do think that when you get a one-on-one chance to be able to talk with some of these guys, it's a little bit different than hearing a press conference, hearing these media days, what have you. Is there just one or two that really stood out to you here in the offseason?
Colby was out at Mountain West Media Days, and he texted me that Wahlberg is really high on his team at Fresno. He says it's his favorite team in 40 years of coaching. So I'm interested. The Fresno team had a lot of turnover. They're kind of a wild card team. Well, I mean, they obviously are a wild card team. They had guys fixing games last year in the scandal. I'm interested to see this Fresno team in year two of Wahlberg.
Yep, and I am as well, because I was not really bullish on the hire to begin with Fresno State. It just looked like a disaster for them. And I really do think that with the Mountain West, it's a fascinating conference, because other than San Diego State, I don't think that there's necessarily a bona fide NCAA tournament team. But the likes of Boise State, you bring in Grand Canyon. I know that UNLV coming into the year is a little bit banged up, but I like their roster as well. Utah State. There's so many teams I think are going to be like hovering in that neighborhood of 50 to 75 that I think that like, 2 through 6 is going to be an absolute dogfight, and I just wonder how Fresno State is going to be faring against those sorts of teams.
And the Mountain West is awesome. The home courts, you had a Grand Canyon in there. We already talked about San Diego State, how great that home court is. I mean, Utah State and Logan is top notch. Nevada's a tough place to play at. Boise's a tough place to play at. Just another really, really good coach. coaches league.
Yep, and always looking at home court advantages as well. And how much do you take a look at that coming into the year? Because I'm so glad we're talking about the Mountain West, because Wyoming always just feels like they've got that ultimate home court advantage. And that's always a team that I love to bank on early in the season when you've got that elevation factor going on.
Yeah, Sundance wakes two in year two. You would think that they're probably going to take a step up. The elevation teams, especially when you're not used to playing at elevation early in the year or you're coming off one of these foreign trips, that's a tough spot. So those are going to be teams I'm going to look to back at home.
Absolutely, and I do want to just get your thoughts on this as well, because now we're finally a week away from the start of the college basketball season. We can finally start looking at some betting angles. Are there a few other things that you take a look at in like the first 2-3 weeks of the season that you emphasize a little bit more than you will throughout the rest of the season? Like, I always take elevation into account, but I do think that these teams, that they just have a lot of returning minutes. These teams that they bring in, I always like to call them compound transfers. Like with Creighton, they brought in multiple guys from Iowa. Those are the teams I think are going to have a lot of betting value early on during the season.
I'm going to look at two teams, Denver and IU Indy, that bring back
Division II coaches. Yes.
Yes. And they bring over their players. And I mean, we've seen that recipe work, whether it's with Ben McCollum at Drake, and we've seen it over and over in college football. The best example being Kurt Cignetti turning James Madison into Indiana, and now they're a national championship contender. So yeah, those are the teams I'm going to look at early. Coaches that bring a bunch of their continuity already over. The books are not accounting for IU Indy and Denver, I can tell you that.
Absolutely. And with IU Indy, it's very interesting that West Liberty team, because they bring over the coach from West Liberty, they were scoring over 100 points a game last year. Like, it's just absolutely
ridiculous.
Yeah, they
shoot a bunch of threes.
Yes, that is going to be a lot of fun to look at.
Absolutely. It's such a unique style of basketball. And I mean, we've seen Division II coaches have a lot of success too. McCollum, I could go to Jared Calhoun, who went from Fairmont State over to Youngstown State. Yeah. Andy Newman, like you mentioned. Now we're going to see if they can do it at Riverside with Gus Angels. I love the Division II hires. Bart Lundy with
Mike DeGeorge
Queens.
Over at Cal Poly.
Yes, Cal Poly. Over and over, I don't think we realize that Division II basketball at the top level is better than a lot of these mid-major programs.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. The lone exception was Kim Anderson when he took over that Missouri team. That was just a little bit too big of a jump. He went from Division II to coaching Missouri. You probably want to be going to a mid-major before you make that big giant of a leap. So I actually think that is very good that Ben McCollum got a year at Drake instead of going right from Division II to Iowa. That would be a little bit of a tough transition, but I'm right there with you. These Division II guys at these mid-major programs, I think that they're going to have a lot of success. And I know that you, my friend, are going to have a lot of success all throughout the season. Ryan, you do such great work over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. You're a wealth of knowledge when it comes to college basketball. Also, you and Kobe do an amazing job on the college football front this time of year as well. So love to get people at home know what's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Always appreciate it, Greg. Yeah, next time I come on here, hopefully it's we're picking games rather than hypotheticals. So yeah, let's go. Yeah, this is a busy time of year for us, obviously. College football, college basketball in the swing of things. You got the college football playoff race on, and you got all these college basketball games. So I always appreciate you having me on, Greg.
It certainly is. And I know that Ryan, he is doing such a great job of getting set for what is going to be a tremendous college basketball season. Every single time he joins me, he lends such great insights, and he did so once again today. So big thanks to Ryan for joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN family of podcasts. And if you do like to hear him from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what I have before this podcast, you do have one or two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter /X timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way, that is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. I'm with you guys every single day on this podcast. Over 2,150 straight days without a missed podcast. We are just a week away from picks and analysis analysis on every single game, every single day. I will always honor that, so you have that to look forward to. Here in the next week or so, I'll be updating you guys on the injury information that we're getting on some of these teams. We were talking a little bit about it with Ryan here today. We're going to look at just any sort of nooks and crannies in general that might be getting overlooked. I don't make too much out of the exhibition results, but if something really pops out there, I'll be alerting you guys of that as well. But it's all in preparation for what I hope to be the most profitable college basketball season ever. It is going to be amazing, and I'm always appreciative of having you guys aboard, and I'll be back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you.